Have you ever been schooled? Have you ever just been owned? Now you might think of like something like, okay, online, you're playing Call of Duty, you just got owned, right? Or, you know, your kid schools you at math. Or maybe you're on the mats and there's just somebody that has your number. And if you've ever had a first day at training, then I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. You spar with someone and you just keep walking into combo after combo, and it could be so stinking frustrating. You know, whether you're rolling with somebody who has a little bit more experience than you, they are a higher belt, and you just keep falling into trap after trap, and you just keep getting schooled and you keep getting caught in the next submission. It's like they always know your next move. And now I've grown up training in martial arts since I was 3 years old. And I've taken my fair share of amount of beatings on the mat from older people, younger people. And I've also had the opportunity to kind of be the guy on the other side, the guy that's dishing out the beating sometimes. And so being on both sides is all part of training. But when I, every time like I would meet with my friend Mike, Mike Imperial, he moved here in 2016. We opened a jiu-jitsu academy together. But when he moved here and him and I started training together and sparring together, he had my number so bad. So like we would be training and I'd be getting ready to compete, and I had pretty good takedowns. I still got pretty good takedowns, but I would go in and I would just be like, okay, I'm going to just smush him to the floor because I'm a lot bigger than him. And so I would get Mikey up against the cage and just cheese grade him against the fence and just get him to the ground. And before I knew it, I was halfway in a triangle, or I was halfway in a guillotine. He was on his way to my back every single time. So I would try harder and I would go faster, and I would just be like, man, I'm not fast enough. And I would just hit it so hard. And every time he would just accept what was happening and just get me in trap after trap. And it could be so frustrating to be schooled like that. And now sometimes life feels that way. Life feels like it is just out to school you, to own you, to surround you. And in life, it always just kind of seems like when we try to improve, when we try to make a positive move in life and leave our past behind, or grow closer to God, be more disciplined at the gym, and it just feels like we can't get ahead. Something bad always happens. It's just like life is setting a trap for you. Life sometimes feels like a fight we can't seem to win. Now, maybe I'm not the only person that has just felt schooled by life. Now, even just this morning, on the way to come record and stream, my car wouldn't start. And I was hoping to get here early and just get all everything set up and just get ready to rock and roll. And it was just like, man, we're doing something good and so many bad things are happening. I stubbed my toe, my coffee got spilled. I'm just like, okay, life, I see you. If you can relate, please type schooled in the chat. Let us know that you could relate to being schooled in life. So here's the question that we look to answer this morning, what you can expect from this morning. In the fight of life, how do we win? How do we train to win? If we're met with so much resistance, if it just seems like life is not fair, how are we able to overcome it and have victory that we're talking about? Our whole ministry is designed and with the vision of helping you live in victory. And it's if that's the case, why do we feel so defeated and so schooled all the time? And so when the battles of life come your way, our goal is to help you know what to expect so you're not left feeling let down, defeated, discouraged, but instead standing strong and ready to go. So let's look to the word this morning and see that there's actually a lot for us to talk about here in understanding the fight. And so again, if you don't have a Bible, we want to send you one for free, no strings attached, tflministries.com/resources. There's all kinds of things there, but there's a tab that says get my Bible. And so we want to make sure that we're able to send you a Bible. And so what we're going to be doing this morning is reading from the book of Ephesians, The book of Ephesians is a letter written by Paul and was circulated kind of around the early church. And Ephesians is one of actually four letters that Paul wrote while he was imprisoned. And we call them the prison epistles. And so they are oftentimes kind of grouped together because they kind of have a lot of the same heart. And so I encourage you to check them out and kind of look them up a little bit. But Paul, in his Ephesians letter, really gives us some simple teachings and ways to just live out our faith. So kind of the first half is like teaching. The second half is really about like how to apply a lot of those truths into your lives. And so this is kind of where we pick things up at the end of Ephesians. And so Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 10 and 12 to kind of kick us off here. And so this is what he says. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And so join me as we say a quick word of prayer. Jesus, my prayer is for this message, God, to teach us more about the reality of the world that we live in. God, for we know that nothing better describes our day-to-day life, God, than your Bible, than your word. So God, may it be a light shining upon our feet, showing us the way. Increase our faith today, God, and evolve us into warriors in your kingdom. And everybody typed in the chat, amen, amen, amen. So what does this passage of scripture mean for us today? And here's what I want you to hear, that spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare is real. The battle between light and darkness, good and evil, heaven and hell, the Lord of Lords and Satan. It's the showdown of the ages. That spiritual warfare is real. The war is real and it's happening all around us and we are right in the middle of it. And that's what the Bible's teaching us right now, that there is an unseen battle happening right this very moment. Verse 11, and then the first part of verse 12 tells us, put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. The devil, he hates you. The devil hates you and he wants to destroy your life. And that is the reality of his purpose, is he hates you and he wants to destroy your life. He perverts God's word. He twists God's promises, and he is the master of deception, the father of lies, the Bible tells us. He wants to keep you from God by any means necessary. Now, in any battle, it's important that you know who you're fighting against, right? Because when you go into the cage and you've been training, hopefully you've been training for, like, you know what you're training for. Because if you're going against somebody who's a really good wrestler, you better be ready to stop the takedown. If they're a good striker, you better be ready on your feet and have really good footwork. Of course, you want to be good across the board, but you got to know what your opponent is bringing to the table. And the devil's main strat is lies. So we have to be ready to combat deception and combat lies. Otherwise, we're taken off guard and we don't see what's happening. He wants to keep you from God by any means necessary. These kind of, I like to think of them as like dark special forces. It's like the dark side of SEAL Team 6. Their plans are to attack, and they especially want to attack Christians and Christ followers. Now, we talked earlier about like feeling schooled by somebody. His goal is to school you. His team is to school you. Setting traps, using strategies, schemes, systems to hurt you, destroy you, cause division, make you hate church, distract you, make you compromise your conscience. And the Bible teaches us that we are in this warfare of faith until we pass from this life. So this battle is going to happen every day of your life until Jesus comes back or we pass on from this world and we leave earth. But here is the good news. Here is something that we can celebrate. The battle is already won. Now you might say, okay, Pastor Zach, that makes no sense. You're contradicting yourself. How is the battle won when we're in the middle of it? Well, the great war is already won because of what Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection, because Satan's power in that moment was broken. His power is broken. He has no power over you. Our victory is secured in Christ himself. But as we continue through this life on earth, the enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from God and tempt you. He will do whatever he can to kick and scream and discourage you and keep you from going to God, but he has no power over you. That is why the battle is won, but yet we are still in the middle of him trying to make it seem as if he has power and trying to come after you and discourage and keep you from God. So this is where it becomes our responsibility to train ourselves in the ways of the Lord so we are not overcome and deceived by the devil's schemes and his strategies. Going back to my early days training with Mike, I would, again, fall for trap after trap. But I kept training. I kept training. I did not let the discouragement of past failures hold me back from growing and adapting and growing and getting better and better. I decided that my time on the mats was worth it. My time training was worth it. And I dedicated time. I dedicated time to learning his strategies, learning where the holes in my own game were. And that's humbling, but it is worth it because you're growing in your faith, in our faith, right? Because when we are looking to get better in the battle against spiritual warfare, our faith is our shield. And over time with Mike, I was falling for less and less traps. But it took, again, humility, it took determination, and it took time. So if we are going to stand a chance against the devil and his forces, we must train to win. If we are going to stand a chance against the devil and his forces, we must train to win. So how do we do that? That's what we're going to look at right now. How do we train to win in the battle over your soul between good and evil? What do we do? What is our ownership over this? And so we go back to verse 10, and he says this: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It is not in your own power that you're able to stand firm against the devil and his schemes. You will never be strong enough. You will never be strong enough to fight in spiritual warfare alone. It takes an intimate and an intentional relationship with God in the Lord and in making your identity his. Your relationship with God is the basis and the base for you to stand strong. You can't expect to win on your own. It's in his strength that we stand. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? And the next couple verses that Paul gives us, he gives us an analogy of a Roman soldier. Now, of course, the Roman Empire was the governing force of that time. And so everybody knew what a Roman soldier looked like. And with Paul being in prison, it was really easy for him to just kind of visualize and look at a Roman soldier and kind of correlate that to spiritual warfare. And so this is what he says in verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So what I think here is I just visualize Max Holloway over his knockout of Gaethje, right? If he went five rounds, Max, of course, wasn't without injury, but after he knocked out Gaethje, he was still standing firm. It looked like he could have done like another five rounds, right? And that is the kind of victory that God wants to give you. So when the enemy attacks, you can resist, and you could fight in the battle that comes your way and still be standing firm, ready for another round. That is the kind of victory God wants to give you. Not one where you're just like getting by the skin of your teeth, but he wants to give you overwhelming, conquering style victory. So, and just a side note, not everything that happens in your life, not every hardship you face is a spiritual attack. Because we don't want to get hypersensitive and look for the demon under every rock. That's not always the case. This life, we will have hardships. Jesus said that life is going to be tough from time to time. So not everything is a spiritual attack, but we do need to recognize that sometimes there's a spiritual reality to what we're facing in our day to day. And that's why Paul says, starting in verse 14, stand your ground. He says it again, stand your ground. We are meant to be very active in our faith, very active in warfare. We cannot be passive and full of apathy and just let the battle go on. You have to take ownership in spiritual battle. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, these elements combined make you a complete soldier in the fight of life. And again, it's a fight that you're in whether you want to be or not. You have no choice in this. You are in this battle. Now, the battle is won, but we're responsible to train and live the fight life if we're going to be victorious. So God gives the means to victory, but it's our responsibility to equip them. There is no room for laziness when it comes to spiritual battle. So it all starts with truth, the belt of truth. And so what we're going to do is look just very briefly at each one of these, the belt of truth. Your best way to not be deceived is to know the truth, obviously, right? The best way to not be deceived is to know the truth, because the enemy is a liar and he will try to do whatever he can to get you off course by deceiving you. Know the truth, for it keeps everything held together, just like a belt does. Without a belt, your pants are falling down, everything's kind of falling apart. When you have a nice, secure belt, it kind of holds everything together, right? Just like in your faith, you need to be secured and held together by truth. There is no relative truth. There is no your truth and my truth. There is only objective truth that comes from God. The Bible is the standard. Know the truth and live out the truth. The second thing that he shares is the body armor of God's righteousness. This is us living the right way, living out the truth. The breastplate of righteousness is often called, but the body armor of God's righteousness. That just sounds so cool. Living out the truth that we know in the likeness of who God is. That's kind of the idea. Living in godly character. And when we live in godly character, it protects your heart. It keeps you from being deceived. Know the truth and live the truth. And the third thing, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Nothing is worse than going for a run with like shoes that are too small or trying to catch your balance with shoes that have like no grip on them. Keep your footing, stand your ground. Believe that God has your back. He is for you. He is in your corner for the fight. He's not playing with you. He's not deceiving you. He loves you and he wants you to succeed. That is the God we serve. He is a perfect father who loves you and has made a way and wants you to live an overwhelming Max Holloway victory. That is why you could stand. That is why you could stand in assurance that he is for you and he's made that way. Endure. Don't give up. It's okay to fail, but don't surrender. It's okay to slip, but keep getting up. Whatever fight you're in, stand strong in his strength and in the peace that comes from the good news that Jesus is for you, that you could trust him, and share it. Share the good news. Share the peace you have, because sharing and proclaiming your faith in Jesus is a sure way to advance the kingdom of God and overcome the enemy. Know the truth and live the truth. And the fourth thing that he says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith. Hold up your shield of faith. You cannot be lazy and expect victory. You cannot be lazy and expect victory. This goes for the cage, right? This goes for BJJ. This goes for spiritual warfare. They're all kind of similar in that fact that whatever you put in is typically what you'll get out. And if you're feeling like the enemy's slapping you from left and right and you're getting schooled, are you holding up your shield of faith? Hold up the shield of faith. Take the shield off the ground, blow off the dust on it, and take it up. Because the enemy is firing round after round at you. And what's interesting about the bullets in his ammunition is they're specific to you. He knows how to get you off course. He knows where the crack in your armor is. And he's going to have a specialized fiery arrow or bullet designed just for you to try to throw you off course and deceive you. Your faith is what's going to protect you from that ammunition. Fight off his attacks with the shield of faith. Faith that God says, God is my refuge. God is my strength, my fortress, my strong tower. These are promises that we need to tell ourselves to build our faith. And when you see the arrow coming, you can say out loud, God is my strength. God's got my back. No matter what comes my way, I'm able to stand my ground and move forward with my faith as my shield. Know the truth and live out truth. And then the last two that Paul gives us, he says, salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Protect your mind. You must protect your mind because God has given you a strategy to victory. And when that strategy gets pushed out by other distractions or gets skewed or perverted or twisted, we get off course and we don't know the game plan because God has given it to you. God has given you the strategy for victory, the game plan to win the fight. Keep things out of your mind that shouldn't be there. So many things are just jumping for our attention, and it's so easy to just forget God in the middle of it until we're on the ground with a knockout. The enemy just hit us hard. Then we kind of finally come to our senses and are like, wow, what did I do wrong? Right? Because that's one of the first things that we ask when we lose a fight is like, what happened? Right? We don't want to be that person. Do not be caught off guard. Keep your mind sharp and know what's happening. Protect your mind and let your relationship with God, which is salvation, the helmet of salvation, your relationship with God, him saving you from death, forgiving you of your sins. Let that be what you meditate on. Let that flush out any impurities in your brain that may cause you to doubt God and stumble in your faith. And as your true and only offensive weapon, the word of God is your Bible. Again, we want to get you a Bible. If you don't have one, let us know. But know the word and be confident of its power. The devil will do, again, everything he can to keep you out of your Bible, to influence you to be apathetic about learning, to make you feel like you don't have time, to make you feel like you don't have energy, to make you feel like you're not smart enough. He'll do whatever he can to keep you out of the ins and outs of the power of the word of God, because it has the power to destroy strongholds. It has the power to just be such an influence in the spiritual realm in your own life. Know the truth and live out truth. And then Paul closes all of this with telling us to pray. He says, pray. Your prayer life is so much more important than you can imagine. Some things can only be won through prayer. And we actually just did a really good podcast. Pastor Dakota and I did Crosschoke episode 38, all about prayer. And I encourage you to go check it out. How do we pray? What is prayer like? And so we go pretty in depth with that. And so please go check that out. But prayer moves mountains. Some things can only be accomplished through prayer. So in the fight of life, we just kind of looked at a lot there, but in the fight of life, train to win. Your strength is first and foremost in God. Stand firm and equip yourself in his power, his truth, and live it out. That's the whole reason why Jesus came. He came to take your sin to be sin, to be get in your place where you deserve to go, right? Because for all of us, our sin is what has separated us from God. The whole reason why Jesus came is he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And through that, we are able to have overwhelming victory. And that is why he's coming back. Because the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says that my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Life and life to the fullest. It's because of Jesus that we have a chance to even win the fight. This victory is ours because of him. Not something we've earned ourselves. That's why the heart of our ministry, again, is to support you to live in a grace-filled victory. Meaning this, that it is a gift. Grace-filled victory is not something you've earned, but it's given to you. It's free, but we are responsible to own it and live in it. Train in the ways of the Lord. Trust him, and he will never let you down. We win because he is already the winner. Jesus loves you. He paid the price for you and wants you to live in victory. And if you haven't started that relationship with him, you'll never know what it's like to be on the winning team. You'll never know what victory is truly like, to have true peace and assurance that everything really is going to be okay. When the enemy is surrounding you, you know that he has his arms around you as well, just like Pastor Dakota sang. There's definitely going to be times when you don't feel like a champion. There's definitely going to be times where, even in the midst of victory, you still feel defeated. Because life, again, will have its ways of trying to school you. Sometimes the bullets are overwhelming. Sometimes the arrows are so hot that you're burning a little bit and you feel that heat. Life still can be pretty tough. And there's actually a book that I want to encourage you to read from my good friend Greg Ledgerwood. He has a book called Champion by Greg Ledgerwood. It will definitely challenge you in this of like, okay, I'm supposed to be living in victory, but why am I going through what I'm going through? But making a choice for Jesus to be in your life is the best choice you can be, because he's with you through the storm, and we could trust him in the midst of the highs and lows in life, no matter how fair or unfair they are. We could trust him. And I want to give you a chance to have that relationship with him right now. So right where you are, you can simply say out loud this prayer with me. Jesus, I'm tired of feeling schooled. I'm tired of being defeated. I know you're my victory. I give you my sin. I give you my life. I know you're in my corner, and that you always have been. Forgive me and help me to stand firm in the fight of life. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer with us, please type amen in the chat. But if you prayed that prayer, we want to help you in your next steps. We want you to know that we're in your corner. And so please visit us at Fight Church or at tflministries.com/fightchurch. At the bottom of the page, there's a little connect card where you're like, hey man, I gave my life to Jesus today, what do I do? And it's very simple, but we want to be in your corner, help you get plugged into a church, and resource you to live the fight life in grace-filled victory. And so guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope you enjoyed Fight Church. We love you. We will be streaming again next month. Look forward to Cross Choke. There's a lot of fights going on around the state. Please keep an eye out for us. We love you. We're in your corner, and we will catch you next time.